Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we come to Exodus chapter 15, which is a very powerful section of the story of Moses. We find a particular expression of worship and love and adoration for God pouring out of Moses and indeed Miriam and the Israelites. They're just so full of thanks and praise to God for the deliverance that God has given. Now, we know later in our Bible, we have the book of Psalms, and in those Psalms, there are many, many similar expressions of praise and worship and appreciation of the character of God and his personal intervention in our lives that means so much and that has made such an incredible difference. But here, if you like, is an early psalm. Here is a picture of what will be coming, just expressions acknowledging the Lord. I'll sing to the Lord, he is highly exalted. Now, of course, the thing in their minds is that they're just amazed how they walk through the middle of the sea and they're unharmed, and yet the Egyptians, when they try to follow, they're all caught up in the waters returning and are drowned, and the horses and everything. I mean, the scene of death must have been absolutely devastating, and yet there's also the excitement. But we didn't meet that fate. We didn't face that end. We were protected. Look at what happened to those who are our enemies and those who are enemies of God. And again, if you think about the fate of those who reject Jesus, it's very sad, and you could feel a little depressed and quite under a cloud, as it were. But we must also look at the fact that Jesus has delivered us. He doesn't want us to go to hell. He doesn't want us to be eternally separated from God. He wants us to be in heaven with him. And he, through Jesus, has achieved that wonderful salvation. So we rejoice in that. Of course, we realize the implications for those who reject him, but we have not rejected him. By the wonderful grace of God, our eyes have been opened and we've seen him for who he is. His right hand, majestic in power, his right hand shattering the enemy. We read, "You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. The nations will hear and tremble. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them." They just have this sense, the Lord reigns forever and ever. And Miriam, Moses' sister and Aaron's sister, she picks up the timbrel, and the women begin to follow her lead, sing to the Lord, he's highly exalted. This exuberant praise probably manifest in a very sort of physical way. This wouldn't have been quiet and sedate. This would have been very extravagant and full of bodily expression, but coming from the heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We could have been caught up in that sea, but we were safe. We were out of it. We could have had our firstborn die in Egypt, but we were saved. We didn't see death in our families. The gratitude of God's people was very, very touching. But life was not going to be easy. They were still on a journey, and they were going to be in the desert. And in the desert, they would need God's provision, which we will share a little more about in a future program. They needed God's intervention, and God provided in incredible ways. Water that was not fit to drink was made fit to drink by just obeying God. And here's something that the Lord wanted his people to be aware of. In Egypt, there'd been all manner of diseases, much of which had been caused by the lifestyle of the Egyptian people. But if they lived according to God's lifestyle, according to God's will, then the diseases that came upon the Egyptians would not come upon them. He is our healer. Well, we need to leave it there. I would just comment briefly, 27 talks about Elim, the 12 springs, the 70 palm trees, which became the name of a movement that still exists today of expressing Christian gospel truth. But for us, we need to pause for some worship, and then my good friend Patrick will join me and reflect a little more on the wonders of Exodus chapter 15.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Exodus chapter 15. And what we have here, Richard, is a kind of a break in the narration, isn't it? We've seen a long and complicated story up to now in Exodus, but now it's a break from that, and the theme turns very much to worship. How important is it, do you think, in our lives to break off from the day-to-day and spend these times in worship?
I think it's ever so important, and I think that one of the joys and wonders of worship is that it actually refreshes us. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't hard work. If you're singing heartily, there's a degree of energy in that. If you're playing instruments, there's a degree of energy in that. But essentially, worship, praising God, honouring God, is something that does bring the refreshment that we need. It is like a pause button in the middle of the day. Mm. It's great Sundays for God's people to come together, because you can have a worship time that may not be so easy in the week. So it's good to worship God every day, but especially when we come together.
Hmm. Is it something that we can do on our own? I mean, here we have, it says at the beginning, Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Then a little bit later on, you have the women sort of joining in. Can we worship on our own, or does it only really work when you're with a large group of people?
Well, that's a very, very helpful thing to consider. Yes, we can worship on our own. Without doubt, we can express our praise, our thanks, and our appreciation of God. But God's designed us not to be on our own. He sets the lonely in families. He has provided wives, husbands, children. So you can't look in the scripture and see that God is just wanting everyone to live in an island, divorced of anybody and everybody else. Therefore, collective worship has a special quality. It's not so much that you can't worship God on your own, but we were made to be part of a family, and therefore there's a wonderful fulfillment with all the variety of gifts and talents and voices coming together, worshipping God. It's great.
Now, it doesn't take long before the people of Israel start to grumble. They haven't had water for a while, and in verse 24 there, we see them grumbling against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Again, this is something of a theme that we see, isn't it, with the people of Israel throughout this period, that they're forever grumbling and complaining.
Yes, it's a sad reality. And it goes back to the fact that in those days, as today, there is no quick fix. You know, growing in God, maturing in God, discovering his plan, it isn't just instant. There is a period of time to work through. You could say, well, the day I got saved, why wasn't I taken to heaven? But now God wants us to be on this earth, to live our lives, and during that time there'll be many tests and trials, but it's testing character, and that's what comes out. They wanted to be free from slavery, but did they really want to follow God? You picked this up in an earlier program, talking about the firstborn, God being first. And we're seeing it again. Is God first? Is his will first? It's an important question.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again as we continue looking at the book of Exodus in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.